Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, Text 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kamso Bhataya Kritame Tanangraham. Rakshyendri Padmam Rahito Munahare Kritavatarasya Darasayam Tama Purve Taram Yam Nakamandalatisha. Indeed, today King Kamsa has shown me extreme mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of Lord Hari, who has now appeared in this world. Simply by the effulgence of his toenails, many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieved liberation. Purport. Akur noted how ironic it was that the envious demoniac Kamsa had given him an extraordinary blessing by sending him to see the Supreme Lord. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksulumutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhushtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sya Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Anchakalpa Tarutyascha Kripashindu Bayevacha Vajitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Giradhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Sri Govardhan. Can't describe what an amazing place it is for spiritual inspiration. I've been going around in the last 10 days every day, one half. And as it said, Giriraj follows you around the hill asking what you want. But better ask for Krishna Prema. Then every other day, bathing in Radha Kund in a very humble, respectful way by chanting the Upadeshamrita. Because it says in the last verse, we should bathe as many times as live on the bank of Radha Kund and bathe as many times possible. But it's the last verse. There's a qualification for that. Those are the first verses, beginning with Vacho Vegam, Manasa Vegam, Udapasta Vegam, controlling the Vegams, controlling the impulses, the tongue, the belly, the genitals, Atyahara Prayascha, and giving up greediness and so many things. So, and bathing in Radha Kund, then walking back, and satsang every day, and nice association. The Prabhupada Disappearance Festival here was unprecedented. In my 37 years of attending Prabhupada Disappearance Festival, this was unprecedented. It's very unique because the main function is in Vrindavan. But somehow or other, very serious sadhakas of Prabhupada's lineage stay out here in Govardhan. So Vrindavan is very wonderful, but, you know, everybody might be able to get 5 minutes. Here, the rule is open your heart until you're fully satisfied. And it was actually a revelation to people to experience. You see, because the people did not just speak Leela, which is nice. They spoke their personal realizations of how Prabhupada touched his heart and what his glories are. And you see how through people who have served Prabhupada, Prabhupada manifests, because what they are is Prabhupada's heart and instruction. So that's really where Prabhupada is manifest. Prabhupada is manifest in the souls who have given their life to him. Because when you give your life to someone, you have to enter their heart, because you want to satisfy their heart. So these people that have been meditating on Prabhupada's heart, how to satisfy him, and are because they only want to satisfy him, they want to do what Prabhupada wants, untinged by any personal agenda that they have. So when you have pure devotees glorifying their guru, you get their guru. And it was a profound experience, because I sat there for 3-4 hours, spellbound. And I have a very high demand of what is spiritual talk. And a very low attention span if it's not. But it began with Jayadvaita Swami. It's kind of like, it was a show, Dragnet, Joe Friday. It was just the facts, just the facts. You know, the straight truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And then Radhanath Swami, then Satchinandana Swami, Veer Krishna Maharaj, Borijan Prabhu, Keshava Bharti Maharaj. Oh, what? I know. And then Vaisheshika Prabhu, and then his wonderful wife, Nikul. It was just so powerful. And what happened was a very, very interesting experience. I mean, Prabhupada was present. You understood Prabhupada from their hearts. And as Borijapu was saying, what is preaching? Preaching is when someone opens their heart. But what is in the heart of these people? It is Prabhupada. They are 100% sold. I mean, these are people that there's nothing. They've done it. They've taken Diksha. They've given their life. And what happened is, I remember this one couple I know, and one the young man grew up in the movement, and he was very, very Prabhupada conscious. He was trained that way, and very attached to Prabhupada. And his fiance, he communicated that. But they were spying for initiation. But there was always this dichotomy. Will that, you know, what about Prabhupada? Will that, you know, and it's not Ritvik. It's just a legitimate concern. They're attached to Prabhupada. They want Prabhupada. And they're concerned, as this relationship skew that vision, or, you know, they want. But what they experience is the indirect is the direct, and that's Guru Parampara. That is the direct way, the indirect way, because it's transparent. And I remember, if somehow I'm close to these people, they came to me crying, we want to give our lives to Prabhupada. We're wasting our life. And, you know, they're ready to take shelter. And I saw what happened. They had experienced, although they were so into Prabhupada, they experienced Prabhupada more than they ever have before. How can it be elsewise? You're Prabhupada's disciple, you're going to be a bhakti siddhanta. Prabhupada's heart is bhakti siddhanta. You experience it that way. In the service, you understand. So anyway, it was just a wonderfully uplifting day. And then another thing that was really sweet, Raghunath Swami has this program down the road, 4,000 or 5,000 people. But there's a group of Russian people, and they're very pure and they're substantial people, really. And it was such a nice program group. This one person takes them on Prikram. He comes every year, and anybody can come who wants. And there's, married people from outside, and there's many brahmacharis, substantial brahmacharis, like real brahmacharis, that join that Prikram. And someone was telling me that there's this one sannyas leader in Russia that was instructing them, that if you want to be, if you have too much fear of women, you can't be sannyas because you got to work that out. Something like that. But they were very natural brahmacharis. I know some of them, real, happy in their renunciation. And that therefore they don't have to they went in this community of when Prihastha was leading it, and they worked. It was a very beautiful community. But I would speak to them several times in my small living room, like 50 of them just kind of pushed their way in. And they said, one of your god sisters is coming today. So one lady, I would expect around 60, but very angelic, motherly. I made sure she had a chair. And I saw how much she was relishing, because one day they asked me to speak about Prabhupada, seeing how much she was relishing. And then they were supposed to meet the GBC of Russia, a very nice scholar, Vaishnava Bhakti began. Anyway, I had to run out to my next thing that I do. I came back 3 hours later, and I saw they were still me, because across where I live in a very unique place. It was to be a development. It's about 5 acres right on the Prikram path. But the people who ran it were such cheaters that no one moved in, and they couldn't build any more buildings. So it's almost like I live on this 5 acres alone, and there's a big park. So I saw that they were, 3 hours later, I came back, they were still sitting there. And then, anyway, they were telling me that how this lady spoke. And she was just a young, innocent, sweet lady that joined in Paris. And then Prabhupada came back from Russia, because the story is Prabhupada went to Russia, and he made he was there for 3 days. He met one person, made him a devotee, and this person spread Krishna consciousness, Ananta Shakti, spread Krishna consciousness all over Moscow. They said he was phenomenal. He was illegal. He was teaching them espionage also, how to avoid the police, and he was, somehow he had power. So Prabhupada came back from him maybe the second time, visited him, and then came and asked the temple president, this Ananta Shakti, he's there alone. He needs a wife. Is there any nice girl here? They said, I think her name is Mandakini. Mandakini. How do you pronounce it? What? Mandakini. So Prabhupada said, let me speak to you. He said, Mandakini, I'd like you to go to Moscow and marry this one Russian man who's become a devotee. And she said yes. And she was telling the story. She said they had so much faith in Prabhupada the Prabhupada said it like, you know, can you go across to the grocery and get me a bag of sugar? You know? But you can see that somehow or other by that sacrifice, the reciprocation in Krishna and the humility in our heart, it was just very, very deep. And then there was another guy that was in prison for 2.5 years. His name is Radha Damodar. And again, the salt of this humility personified. Somehow the realizations he got through that experience. And he, one night he spoke at the Pandel. There was 3,000-4,000 people. And he's very humble. He said, they tried to destroy us. And the result is that they got destroyed. the communist government tried to destroy them, and the result is they got destroyed. And then he said that, you know, the result is they tried to stop us, and they distributed 45 million books in Russia. 45 million books. But anyway, so much love in this group. Such sweet, sweet people. So it's been wonderful, and the association of Jayadvaita Swami, Vaisheshika Prabhu, Keshava Bharati, Ratatvaja Swami just came out, other people visiting, Arjuna Prabhu. It's just been an edifying few days. Yeah, what I decided to do while I'm in India is I spoke on the story of Krishna meeting the gopis and Radharani at Kurukshetra. So I thought this is such a beautiful story because it expresses Bhakti Ras. Are you up? You're not tired, are you? Okay, if you are, you have to. It expresses Bhakti Ras at its height. Ras means overwhelming emotion, the overwhelming emotion of bhakti at its height. And that's God's pleasure. That's the highest pleasure for God. It's the highest pleasure for God when he takes the position of a devotee to relish it. And then God takes the position of devotee, that's called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to relish that. So it's God relishing the highest love of his devotees. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in the Gambhira, meditated on certain pastimes. So I thought one thing I could do, I've been doing this for 7 years, you know, trying to find what's next, is go through the bhav, the mood, the stories, the pastimes that express the love of Srimati Radharani, that love which God wants to experience from her position. So therefore we started another story that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would listen to in the Gambhira, in his cave in the last days of his life when he was trying desperately to experience the love of Srimati Radharani. Is Nakura took Krishna from Vrindavan. And Gauravinda Maharaj, Srila Gauravinda Maharaj, in his book, The Embankment of Separation, describes that the sentiments of the residents of Vrindavan, specifically the sentiments of Srimati Radharani, her feelings when she heard Krishna was going to leave, what was the extent of her love? What was the height of her affection? And what she felt when he left, and even more so what she felt when he's going. What was her sentiments when those chariot wheels where Krishna was being carried by Arjuna, carried by Akura, what did she feel? So we're following the story. And the story also gives us a nice hint of the mood of pilgrimage and the mood of devotion, of what a great devotee's devotion is. So he begins to travel, but how does he travel? He travels in great devotion, in the mood. Today I will see the Lord of my life. What is he feeling? Of course, it's for nefarious purposes. At least Kamsa had nefarious purposes. He wanted to bring Krishna back. But Akura is getting this opportunity. And that's what pilgrimage is. Even in the Bhagavatam, it says, what is the use of the legs if they don't walk to the temple and go on pilgrimage? They are like the legs on the tree of a trunk. There's no real value in terms of its function. So, it's an item of devotion. You're going to the temple. You see the chakra on top of the temple. It's the going on pilgrimage. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan. Jaya Rani, Jaya Krishna. Headed to Vrindavan, going to Vrindavan. So we see the mood of a devotee is great joy. And then he's a devotee. So he meditates. What pious deeds have I performed? Meaning, this is the greatest thing. What in the world did I do to deserve this? Aho bata swapa chato griyanya jivadre vartate nama tukam te pastapus nasta arya. How wonderful it is. Even if one is the lowest birth, a dog eater, if he's chanting the holy name, Jiva Gray, one name with devotion, then what must he have done? He's bathed in all holy rivers. He's read, you know, what has he done in his last life to get that fortune? Today, I've seen. Or the Kaliya serpent. When the wives, initially, they wanted Krishna to kill him because he's such an envious serpent. But when he surrendered, then they became compassionate, and they saw Krishna was so angry with them. So they tried to pacify Krishna, and they said, he can't be that bad to have your lotus feet on his head. Was he compassionate to other living entities in his past life? Did he perform the piety of compassion? The greatest piety, the greatest sukriti, the greatest good deed that would be best for you is compassion. that he show the compassion of bringing other people to Krishna consciousness. Do we have that kind of heart to be able to attain such a wonderful thing? So, what pious, and that's the mood of the devotee. Basically, then, I'm unqualified. Just as a sudra cannot chant the Vedic mantras, impossible. I'm so unqualified. That's the beginning understanding of God. Because as soon as one thinks one's qualified, that one can earn God, one has substantially reduced the value of God to the fact that it's no longer God. It's something else. It's something that you can control, you can achieve, you can earn, you can pay for. So the real devotee, he understands it's mercy. There's no way to achieve God without mercy. And our practices help us to get that mercy when they are an expression of the need for mercy. I had that realization, I think, just yesterday, leaving Radhakund, after that ecstatic, humble, holy bath. And the sadhu life, because it's a little cold in the morning. You know, you take off your dhoti, you put on your gumsha, you go in the water, you know, you dry off. I think, you know, it's like a good samskaric remembrance. Yes, the sadhu life, the simple life. But I realized that mercy comes to the extent that we open our heart to mercy is to the extent that we may get mercy. Opening our heart to mercy means the desire for mercy, the prayer for mercy. It's somehow connected with mercy itself. Because the mercy is flowing. We just have to become receptive. The mercy is flowing. Or we open up the faucet of mercy by our real heartfelt prayers and desires for the mercy of God. There's a connection there. See, he's such a humble soul. But then he thinks, okay, enough of all this mental stuff. I've been floating in the ocean and you get washed ashore, you know? I mean, you don't. Kind of a little of, anyway. So he says, basically, anyway, I'm not going to get too intellectual about this. I've got it. How did I get it? I was in the ocean and somehow it dumped me on the shore. Dumped me on the shore. And then knowing that he's going to come to Krishna, he thinks, somehow all my sinful reactions have been eradicated. And that's Bhagavad Gita. Yesham tvantikatam papam jananam pundakarmanam te dvandvamoha nirmukta bachanti mam. How do you eradicate sinful reactions? You tolerate. And when you tolerate them, you become purified of them. If you don't tolerate them, your response to it creates another reaction. Because you're acting in ignorance. And tolerating them means the desires that come. You tolerate, you tolerate, you tolerate, you tolerate. And the yogic psychology is if there's an impulse, you don't act on it, it closes. You do that enough time, the impulses will all be closed. You won't have that desire anymore. But if you act on your sinful desires, then you create another impression and it only becomes stronger. So, so much simple philosophy here. Now, in today's verse, he's reflecting how is the irony that where did my mercy come from? It came from Kamsa. So sometimes our mercy comes from Kamsa. Our mercy comes from people who wish us harm. Because either we learn a lesson for it, or we move from it in a way that we wind up in a better place. Like Yodhana, he insulted Vidura. Vidura saw the mercy of Krishna in his evil deed. Because he saw that's how Krishna had to speak to him loudly and say, Vidura, get out of all this politics and just go on pilgrimage. He saw God's hand. And the experience of the devotee as he surrenders to Krishna is the devotee sees God's hand in everything. And he becomes confident on it. He becomes confident of that fact when he looks back on his life and sees how the so-called difficulties that one had in the past were the most important events to give one some realization that brings one to a higher level of consciousness. So it's ironic. But often, our worst enemies are our best friends. Often. Because they are carrying our karma. And they're carrying the situation that probably is the most pivotal situation we need to learn something about ourselves and learn something about Dharma and to shift away our energy from controlling the world to serving the world, which is possible in all circumstances, rather than changing the world, focusing on changing our consciousness. Because those evil people make it apparent that this world is no place for a gentleman. Those lotus feet are worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and all the other demigods, by the goddess of fortune, and also by the great sages and Vaishnavas. Upon those lotus feet, the Lord walks about the forest while herding the cows with his companions, and those feet are smeared with the kumkum from the gopi's breast. So this is feet, tattva, the science, the subject of the feet. And the subject of the feet is humility and glorification. It's glorification because, I said this many times, the feet are the lowest part of the body. I'm on prakram, I step in some things. It's like uncomfortable, but it's not that gross. It's not if I sat in it or my hand touched it. Oh, my face touched it. So the feet, in India, the shoemaker is like the lowest class. It's called mochi. It's dirty. He's touching the feet, the shoes, no shoes in the temple. But the point is, if the feet are glorified, how great is that person? And it also indicates your humility. Panasevana means to serve the feet. What does it mean? It means humble service. Approaching the feet is humility. So, it's natural for the devotee to glorify the feet. Meditate on the feet, the lotus feet. Surely I shall see the face of Lord Mukunda. Since the deer are now walking past me on my right, that face, framed by his curly hair, is beautified by his attractive cheeks and nose, his smiling glances and his reddish lotus eyes. Akura saw an auspicious omen, the passing of the deer on his right, and thus felt sure he would see the Supreme Lord Krishna. This is a fact, my eyes are tuned to my karma. When my left eye twitches, I know exactly what's going on. Inevitably. I know exactly what it's connected with. And it does not fail me. So the different omens or signs. Somehow God has a way of, sometimes if we want it, indicating what will happen. Apyadya Vishnur Manujatvam Iyashu Paravataraya Bhuvo Nachejaya Bhavanyadam No Bhavato Palambanam Mayam Nanastat Falamanjusha Drusha. I'm going to see the Supreme Lord Vishnu, the reservoir of all beauty, who by his own sweet will has now assumed the human-like form to relieve the earth of her burden. Thus, there is no denying that my eyes will achieve the perfection of their existence. So that's perfection. Perfection is the experience of God. And the experience of God is the experience of ourselves, just as much as the experience of the sun is the experience of the visualization of the seeing ourselves. We can't see without the sun. So, this is perfection. And seeing means experiencing in one sense too. And you can experience God through any of the senses. But that's the perfection. Because that's what we are. We are servants of God. And therefore, the most natural thing, as Prabhupada said, the perfected state of the living entity is called the devotee. So the most perfect thing is to see God and see ourselves and become inspired to serve him. The perfection of the hand is that it's a hand. It's a helping hand. Perfection of the hand is service of the body. That's perfection. It's not to become the body. The perfection of perfection means to a devotee. Perfection is to be what you are. What are we, Jiva, Srupa, or Nityananda Krishna Das? We're servants of Krishna. So that's perfection. And that desire brings us into communion with Krishna. There's three desires that soften the heart and fire. Bhava, you want to be with God. You want to serve God. And you want to develop a relationship with God.
Okay.
Somehow or other, the fatigue is setting in. And I don't feel like giving another one of my great classes when I'm sleeping and speaking by my subconscious. Okay, anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna,
Gauranga bit me.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
What's that? I'm being confused. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, do you have time to ask a question?
Yes. Nanda Dulal, ask your question.
Okay. Maharaj, if you have 2-3 minutes, just tell us, because Vishma Panchak is coming, you know, about the significance of Vishma Panchak.
What's that? Say, wait, speak slowly. I can't understand you. What?
No, Vishma Panchak.
One second. Yeah, what are you saying?
I'm telling you now, can you in brief tell us the significance of Vishma Panchak?
Vishma Panchaka?
Yeah.
All I know is there is a significance whenever you increase your devotion. And I'm not as into the mystical thing, but the tradition is if the last 5 days you follow, you get the benefit of the whole month, but then who would follow the whole month? I think basically the significance is what, that Bhishma couldn't fast something for the whole month because he's such a Vakodara, wolf belly, Bhima, Bhishma. He's such a warrior, Bhishma Pancha. So he's got a special benediction. Everything is consciousness. Narada Muni, when he got sexual darshan of Krishna, and the second time he did the same thing, but he didn't get darshan, and Krishna says, you're not complete in service. So service means ultimately the quality of your consciousness of service. That doesn't come unless you do service. So I also, you know, Bhishma Panchaka, I'm going to increase my devotion. It's good to reaffirm if I become slack in any way during the rest of the Arti. And there's a tremendous benefit, no doubt. Arti is the sail where bhakti is can be purchased at a much cheaper price than at any time of the year and in Vrindavan than in any other place. So maybe, you know, at the end of the month, there's still so much bhakti to give away because we're so lazy, we won't even pay the small price of kartik, that Krishna's Sarada is so merciful, it's her month, that she makes a clearance sale. All items of devotion, all bhakti and love must go. 20% off.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Maharaj, is it too private for us to know what happens when your left eye twitches?
When you what?
I say, is it too personal for us to know what happens when your left eye twitches?
I would tell you personally, I wouldn't announce it on the thing, but
okay.
I always get some trouble coming to me. It's so attuned. and I know exactly what kind of trouble. Some kind of harassment comes. But, you know, I'm a devotee, so I look at it as Krishna's mercy. But it's so attuned. I'll tell you one time, Gail.
Listen, Maharaj, yes, you said that...
No, I don't mean telling people individually. I just don't like to say it.
No, I'm changing the subject. I'm saying, you know, devotee wants to serve God and have a relationship with God. But, I mean...
What's that?
Service, I say, a devotee, he wants to serve God and have a relationship with him. But
they're a little bit different.
Yeah, how?
Because service may not be conjugal love. You know, you may get something for someone, but it may not be... One second. They may not be, you know, it's different. Like right now, we may just want to serve Krishna, but it may not be a relationship. Of course, it's a relationship of service, but it may not be a specific relationship.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, this is like more general. Okay. All right, thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Hi, Krishna.
Sananjali and Kala Chanji. Great.
Haribo.
Thank you. Haribo.
We love the class, thank you.
Yeah, I got a sweet letter from Mahamuni. He really liked the class, too. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Henry, hi, Bo. Thank you. There's more people that listen, but this is the core group. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Bo Maharaj. Shasta.
And Shastra.
Yes, Maharaj.
The lining up theory. I think it's going to be the best yet.
Die.
A million streams. Because, you know, I never advertise, but somehow the people that are coming, it's really great, you know? So fun.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hello, Maharaj. Thank you for the class.
Is that Mother Indrani?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you. Yes.
So nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you for the class.
You're well, Mother Indrani? You okay?
Yes. Yes, I just had my 87th birthday.
What?
My 87th birthday, October
21st. 87?
Congratulations. Thank you. It's an amazing number.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Hanan and Surit here. Thank you for your class. It was nice.
Well, it's great to have you on. Great to
thank
have you,
Maharaj.
On. Jagadish will come visit me tomorrow.
Nice.
Okay. Anyone else say hello? Okay. We can kind of end. Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo.